The Switch Hit or Miss podcast is made possible by listeners and supporters such as you. If you would like to learn how you could support the podcast, please go to anchor.fm/switchhitormiss/support to learn more. And thank you so much for your support. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Switch Hit or Miss. Now, the reason for this style of podcast is I didn't really see any other kind of show or podcast out there quite like what I was looking for, so I decided to make one. As the name suggests, I want to go through Nintendo Switch games and give you my opinion as to whether the game is a hit on the system or a colossal miss. But that is where similarities with other shows are going to end. I want to get behind the game, behind the developer, lift the hood, and really see what went into making the game. I want to view each aspect of the game with an eye of scrutiny. To be frank, I want to rip the game apart and put it back together enough to see if it holds its own. I've always wanted brutally honest views on games, where nothing is held back, and nothing is safe, not even the untouchables. Yes, that means our precious Legend of Zelda, which is obviously one of my all-time favorites. But some things need to be said. Some corners need to be turned. We're going to clean out every closet and hold an intervention for all the messed up parts that make their way into games. If you aren't ready to hear some truth about your beloved favorites, maybe you need some introspection and should listen, but if you can't handle it, turn away now. In this first episode of Switch Hit or Miss, I'm going to start small. If you have spent any time with the Switch, you know there are a myriad of indie titles that have found a successful home there. It's these titles that draw me in because they have the capability of being a surprisingly awesome game that you can get lost in and develop an appreciation for the indie developer and further their success by anticipating their next release. While I could throw a grain of rice and hit 20 titles to choose from, this week's game is a fairly recent release that came to me, of all places, on Instagram. In fact, it was an advertisement, and it intrigued me. If you haven't figured out the title from my subtle hint in the intro music, the game I'll be breaking down this week is called Gato Roboto. Now, one could argue that reviewing an indie title may not be worth the time, but I would vehemently disagree with that notion. The thing is, indie titles are growing bigger and bigger. Indie developers are becoming household names and turning into AA title creators and helping everyone in the industry raise their game. No pun intended. Before I get into Gato Roboto, though, I'll be covering things like its style, gameplay, etc. Let's learn a little about who made it. The name of the developer for Gato Roboto is Doinksoft. It's a pretty quirky name, but it's memorable. So, kudos to them for that. It's not really a household name, but the publisher of the game, Devolver Digital, definitely is a name you should be familiar with. They've published a few indie titles anyone with a Switch and a Pulse would know about. I'm talking about titles like My Friend Pedro, episode incoming, and Katana Zero. Their website represents themselves as a boutique game label. If none of those games sound familiar, maybe you've heard of the Hotline series? Hello? If none of those are ringing a bell, maybe you found this podcast by mistake and sheer curiosity is keeping you around. Well, regardless, hang on tight. Doinksoft got their game published by Devolver Digital. But who is Doinksoft? I went to their website and it's just a landing page with their logo. That's it. There's no links, no coming soon, no under construction, no about or contact us, nothing. You're kind of throwing my groove off here, Doinksoft. They do have a Twitter, but it looks like the only post I can find is from June 1st about a known bug that prevents you from progressing past a certain point in the game. and then a reply from themselves on June 4th saying that it's been patched. But all in all, they have very little to no online presence whatsoever, which is kind of odd. It says they're based out of Oregon. Maybe it's a one-person team, and this person likes their privacy. Or maybe they knew they released a flawed and buggy game and are laying low and praying nobody calls them out. Of course, this is all speculation. If you haven't played Gato Roboto yet, well, maybe you have and you just don't know it. It's a Metroidvania-style game where you play as a cat who pilots a mech suit. Your human has crash-landed on a hostile research facility, and now it's up to you to essentially save this human's life. Pretty annoying task if you are a cat. Right out of the gate, with the multiple hours I've put into this game, I have to say, there really is no structural difference between this game and classic Metroid titles, or any Metroidvania-style game for that matter. You get similar power-up weapons, similar abilities that allow you to further access previously inaccessible areas, but there is nothing that stands out between this title and the Nintendo flagship title it's based off of. In my opinion, heavily quotating, in my opinion, this game relies heavily on the nostalgia aspect to draw you in, as well as the cultural fascination with felines. Now, this game has two color palettes to start. What I mean is, it's in black and white. You can change shades and collect new palettes in the form of hidden VHS or cassette tapes that are hidden throughout the game, which makes it look like different things, like the original Game Boy Color palette and custom ones, but the colors are always two-toned. In no way coincidental, my two favorite palettes are Starboard and Port. A color change to a black and white pixelated game isn't really a huge selling point. To compare this to another Metroidvania game, Axiom Verge, which took the genre and pumped it full of steroids and caffeine and threw it out at us from nowhere. While using the minimalist pixel art style, I feel like this particular game plays it way too safe. The boss battles reminded me more of the sub and spaceship levels in Super Mario Land from the bygone era of the Game Boy, where you are holding the fire button down while avoiding the boss's attacks. The reason I compare this to Axiom is because if you have played that title, the difficulty is really high. The boss fights are intense but fun, and it uses the hardware that it is made for. I feel like if your game could have been on such a limited hardware by today's standards, such as the Game Boy, but you released it 30 years later, it means that instead of taking a formula that works and expanding it for today's market, you are essentially just doing a disservice to the very game that inspired your game. Again, my opinion. As far as the gameplay goes, I don't have very many problems with it. The enemy detection is solid, the running and gunning is smooth, the platforming is on point. But there is no real method to killing different enemy types, bosses, and the like. The story is, as you would guess, geared toward every trope to a cat's personality you could imagine ad nauseum. Because of that, I didn't really pay too much particular attention to the story. The cutesy aspect of the game kind of fell deaf to me about 5 minutes after they were milking it, essentially. Before I give my final opinion on this game, I want you to know that I paid for this game because what I saw initially was intriguing. There was something about it that made me feel like it would be worth the time and the money. And as I think about it a little further, maybe it was solely because the game was $6.99. More than likely. I could not pass up a good deal. One could draw from everything mentioned their own conclusion on this game. I am merely offering my personal opinion and my views. If you would like yours to be known, please email me at switchhitormiss@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter, which is hitormissswitch. And yeah, we can go from there. And if you're going to respond to me, I will read your response on the podcast so your opinion can be heard as well. definitely factor in all aspects of the game into my final decision. But after all that, it comes down to three questions that I tend to ask myself. The first is, do I want to beat this game? That's a fair question. The second is, will I play this game again after doing so? And third, am I emotionally connected to it? Yeah, I know a lot of people are like, ugh, emotions, I just want to shoot things and kill them, blah, blah, blah. But for me, I have to have a connection to the game in order for me to want to play it. So, with these questions in mind, rating Gato Roboto between a hit or a miss, I would have to say that Gato Roboto is a miss. The Metroidvania genre has a lot of options, which means there is a standard to uphold. Part of that standard is taking the existing formula and making it better, even if it is just one thing you do better. Gato Roboto is a simplified and polished version of Metroid, which tries, and fails, to deliver a game that will long be remembered. It will be quickly forgotten, and it's a shame because no one should feel like they wasted $7 on a game. The game is fun. It is fun for the first 2 hours. But after that, it begins to feel like a chore. The biggest aspect is, there is no connection whatsoever with the main character, a cat whose name is just as forgettable as your reason for playing. She is indifferent in the storyline, and maybe that's why I'm indifferent to her. Okay, well, there is the inaugural episode of Switch Hit or Miss, and the first one is a miss for me. So I hope you like this format, where we really just break things down and kind of find what works, what doesn't. I want to find both sides for every game I come across and then weigh the options. Please let me know your thoughts, either through email at switchhitormiss@gmail.com or go to my Twitter, which is at hitormissswitch. Next week, I will tackle a huge game franchise that hopefully doesn't result in therapy for all those late 90s kids out there. Subscribe to my podcast. Check out my other podcast, Oculus Questcast, and subscribe if you're into virtual reality. Until then, learn to take a hit.